little bit of a cruisy intro there. What is happening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Talk To Me, show where I get my friends to talk to me. Today, I have a very special guest. It's probably someone I haven't spoken to in a few years, but ladies and gents, this guy is a physio specialist. He's a winner of the Outstanding Youth Award in 2020, if I am right, and he's currently working with the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs Juniors. It's Tommy Haddad. How are you, brother?
Good, mate. How are you going?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm so happy that you decided to come on. Thank you for jumping on, bro.
No, it's been a pleasure, man. Pleasure so far. Anyways, it's been a long time coming, so been wanting to catch up for a while, and best place to do it is, I guess, in front of a few microphones and cameras.
Yeah, just the place to do it where, you can get everything recorded. So if you make any mistakes, it's there forever. It's there. That's it. But, mate, you came in strong because, mate, he came in with a present and I couldn't appreciate that more. Look at that, ladies and gents. That is the blue and white right there. Thank you, bro.
Mate, we share the same last name, so we got to stay kitted out, you know?
Yeah, how does that happen, by the way? Ladies and gents, we're not related.
Not related.
Can you bring that mic a little bit closer to your face? Just pull up. Yeah, there you go.
Is that good?
Is that better, Mick? Yep. And Mick's on the switchboard today. Thanks for joining us, Mick.
Thanks, Mick.
He didn't even give us a thumbs up. No worries at all.
We just got done.
So we're not related, just in case everyone decides to start asking questions.
Yeah.
We met, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, it'd be something like that.
Yeah, a while back. I don't even remember how that was, do you?
Michael, our good friend Michael Muro, invited us to church.
Shout out, Mick.
And it kind of blossomed from there. And then the connection made between, you know, Haddad. And
that was it.
And that was it. And
then love for sport, love for everything else.
And we've been friends pretty much ever since.
Yeah, pretty much, bro. Yeah. But you've been busy, bro. I haven't seen you in probably since that day at Bankstown.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That's right.
I was
getting a haircut.
I think we're just coming out of COVID.
That's right.
And
that's when you had the long hair and the beard.
That's
right. And now I've got the long hair and beard.
We switched to that. By the way, I didn't know you were growing your hair. I saw it the other day on Instagram. Yeah. I was like, this guy looks sick. He's got this full bun at the back.
Honestly, like family, friends, you know, everyone just like went for the whole buzz cut during lockdown. I was like, oh, I was going the opposite. And then turns out there's like a whole cult following of people trying to grow their hair, and I'm like, I don't feel that special anymore.
I did the exact same thing. My parents were calling me up 24/7, cut the hair, shave the beard. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, now I'm getting the shave the beard now too.
Nah, the beard looks good, bro.
Yeah, thanks.
It's tapered down. I like that.
Yeah, I'm looking after it, trying to anyway.
That's it. So what have you been up to these days, bro?
Just, you know, work. I'm kind of in between doing sporting, like coverage work and clinic work. My second degree is podiatry, so it's only been just a year since I've opened up my podiatry clinic in Bankstown.
You opened one up yourself? Yeah. Oh, congrats, bro.
Thanks, mate.
That's awesome. So how's that going?
Yeah, it's going good. Like, it's building up very well, so that's been like my little baby. It's been my focus. And then anything that I can kind of feed through there through my sporting endeavors is like its foundation. So I'm still doing like sports coverage with like Bankstown City Lions, like NPL 1 and 2. Teams, Rockdale FC, Bankstown City Netball Association, and of course Bulldogs.
Oh, so you're with the netball as well?
Yeah, netball. Yeah,
netball's got a soft spot in my heart, bro. When I was in school, my teacher came up to me. She goes, "Listen, we want to put a guys' netball team together for the gala day." Like, I'm not gonna go do netball. Like, what's this? She goes, "No. Trust me, just do it." I looked around. I saw who was going to the netball, and I was like, okay, let's start a netball team. 100%. And mate, I loved it. I love that sport.
Oh, mate, I go with the state teams. So
oh, really?
Yeah. So when they do their state comp, last year was in, I think it was in Penrith. I don't know where it is. I think it might actually be hosted at Bankstown this year, but previous years was at Liverpool, etc. And like you got all your country teams coming down to play. But I've seen some of the boys play, and they are like it's such a fast paced game.
That's
and great. Like you like the stress that goes on, like that their bodies undergo, like you wouldn't expect it from a netball game.
It's different. It's a different sport for sure. But before we get into the whole sporting side of things, I want to take it back to when you win Outstanding Youth Award.
Bro,
tell me about that experience. Tell me what happened there and what the award is for people who don't know.
Yeah, to be honest, I still don't know what it is. Like I was still working at a physio clinic at Bankstown, and I rock up one day and then, yeah, the receptionist hands me this certificate that says like, oh, like you're a finalist, congratulations. And, you know, I'm attending some business award in like November of that year, which was, I think it was 2020. I think.
Yeah, 2020.
And I was like, oh, okay, what the hell? And then it turns out like my boss, you know, bless him, was like just submitted a youth business person award or something,
okay,
you know, application for me. I didn't know about it. And yeah, the patients that were in the clinic and, you know, whoever was coming through or wherever they would have seen the promotion to kind of vote for someone, people were putting in their votes and things like that. And yeah, I was up against a bunch of good nominees as well. And yeah, I went to the award not expecting much. And then I actually was in the bathroom. And
no way.
Yeah, yeah. And they called out my name. It was me, the marketing guy that for the clinic I used to work for, and one of our receptionists. So just the three of us that went. And yeah, they call out my name. And I thought like I had to listen to it twice. I was like, that surely not. Come out of the bathroom and like my table's looking at me and they're like, yeah, yeah, go up. And I'm like, oh shit. So I quickly run off a stage, did a quick speech, and then accepted my award, and that was it.
Congrats, but, bro.
I think that the background of the award is basically just kind of promoting, you know, youth in business and that sort of thing within the area. Like, mm-hmm. It's a good accolade to have, I think, but it hasn't like dwelled on my mind too much. Like, it hasn't given me a big head or anything.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Yeah. Not no yet. In other words, no one really brings it up and goes, "Oh yeah, Tommy, you're the 2020 Youth Award winner. Nice to meet you." Like, nah. It's like,
did that help with anything at all?
I think so. Yeah. I think with me starting off, especially like staying in Bankstown, which you know everyone knows is fairly saturated when it comes to like your physios and your podiatrists and your chiros.
There's one on every corner, bro.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
I think having that background and having the sporting stuff come into play really kind of ramped up the clinic faster than I thought it would have mm-hmm. been at. So it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So you get that award, you're working at this clinic. Mm. How did the Dogs come around?
So I was already working. That was my first year officially with the Junior Bulldogs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2020. So all 2019.
Right. So you take it back to 2019.
Yeah, 2019 I hit the stage with development. So these aren't contracted players. They're just boys that are trying to get scouted, trying to get picked for those rep teams. And once you're in that program, that's kind of like your set path in trying to reach first grade.
So when they're in that development area, are they developing with the Dogs themselves or clubs outside the...
Yeah, not with the Dogs themselves. They'll just be with their same age group, similar talent okay. kind of base. And yep. then you've got actual Bulldog staff that come down to those games and they watch them. So they'll basically okay. handpick them out of their local clubs, whack them into one makeshift team, and they just play each other.
Nice.
Yeah.
And is that a comp that happens throughout the entire year?
Yeah, or? I wouldn't call it a comp, but once a year, like I think around okay. or July, August, they'll, because that's when like the junior comp's kind of finishing, yep. Then they'll grab those boys, put them into like a bit of like a gala day.
Nice.
Go down there, watch them like bang it out against each other. And sometimes against other teams, like you get like Cronulla come up as well. It'll be like development Cronulla versus development Bulldogs.
It's a scouting day, basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, and nice. Like, we've had boys come from Brisbane, you know, and make the team, which is cool. We've got two boys this season from New Zealand.
How old are we talking with these boys?
So the team I'm head trainer for is for Harold Maths. So they're under 17s. Then it goes to SG Ball, which you're under 19s. Then you got Jersey Flegg. They're your 21s, which you're... We basically call them the reserves, even though there's New South Wales Cup. But
yeah,
you're either in Cup because you're not making first grade and you're too old to play Flegg.
Okay.
So Flegg and Ball, SG Ball is where they're kind of picking that next big player.
Yep.
So that's where, you know, you get your Alamottis and your, you know, who else? Chris Patolos. They're all kind of... Kiraz, they yep. were all through,
working up through those.
Yeah,
ranks.
They were all through Flegg, then yep. jump straight to first grade.
How is it working with those boys before they make it to first grade when they're a little bit raw, they're a little bit, you know,
yeah,
cocky because they're that age, that yeah, sort of thing. Like, how is it working with them?
That's when they're with me. Yep. So I'll get them when they're like, you know, 15, 16, 17. And you know what? In terms of cockiness, they're actually great.
Yeah.
They're lovely boys to work with. Like, the amount of times I've been with like certain staff members at Bulldogs and they're like, oh yeah, Tommy, it's good to see you still like around, you know, we want to see you move up. And honestly, like, I don't want to move up to any
really?
Old grade. Nah.
You're loving it.
Yeah.
You're
I
at?
Like, I love being with the Harold Maths. Like okay. they're just such a good group of boys. They're all like, you think them coming from like their club footy, that they jump into reps and start getting a big head, like, oh, look at me, I'm playing for like Bulldogs, essentially. But nah, they're all very like grounded. They all, you know, have their, you know, mentality that they're trying to strive for something greater than what they have.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
For sure. Because, I mean, when you're at that level of the game, you're close.
Yeah.
You're close. Definitely. And you can taste it.
Yeah.
But you're not there yet.
Exactly right.
And there's, like, between being close and making it, I think there's still at least 20 Ks. Like, you've got 20 kilometers left. You've got to try figure out how to make that last 20 and put yourself above the rest of the pack.
Definitely.
I'm going to assume there's a lot of disappointment there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of disappointment in that age category working with those boys. How do you help out, or how do you deal with helping them deal with that?
Well, for the boys that are, you know, got their Christian background, it's easy for me because I can kind of relate with them, you know, get them to pray a bit more, you know, get them to focus on like things that aren't just about footy. I think that's a big thing when it comes to these boys, is about the fact that I think a lot of them come in, especially with a lot of pressure from either family, friends, that sort of thing. It's like, oh, we have to make it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like get them to focus on the fact that like they still got time. Like, yeah, it's held maths. It's a big step from club footy. And essentially speaking on a timeline, you're looking from held maths like in 3 years, you could be having your first crack at first grade.
Yeah.
So 3 to 4 years, it's like not a big time to train and, you know, get that sort of thing. So I try and get them to focus on other components of training, not necessarily just getting picked for the team. Game. Yeah. So obviously we have a fairly big squad. I think it's a squad of, it's more than 20,
okay.
Clearly. But you will only pick like 19. So you've got your...
Sorry to interrupt you. Old mate Joey showed up.
How's it going?
Hello,
mate?
Brother. What's going on, bro?
Can I get up?
You're in that corner there, man.
Good to see you. How's everyone?
Yeah, good.
We're on?
We're on, mate. We're on. I'm just going to fix your camera because I don't know what I'm doing here. So can you put him back on? Let's see what he's got. No, that's a zoom. Ah, look at that. How are you, bro?
I'm doing well.
It's good to see
you. Sorry to interrupt.
Thanks for coming in.
We can hear you well, though.
You can hear me? Good.
Yeah, yeah. I can hear
Fantastic.
You.
How you doing, brother? You just came from a work meeting, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a meeting, but this is technically my lunch break.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Well, ahlasahla.
Things work out.
So, sorry, we're talking about disappointment. We're talking about the juniors.
Yes.
Talking about getting into those first grade teams and what it's like to be disappointed if you're not going to make it. So how do you help them with that? You said your Christian faith helps out a lot with that.
Yeah, definitely. So there's that component. So we've got a mixed multi-faith team. So with those boys, it's easy to kind of remind them that, like, life's not all about footy, you know. Think about the things that are outside of footy, you know, like your family, your friends, church, praying, God, you know. But then the boys that are, you know, from, you know, alternative faiths, it's not that it's harder, but it's like got to try and motivate them in a different kind of way. I think the ones that are heavy in their faith with Christianity, it's kind of good. Just it's more of like a reminder.
Yeah.
So they get reminded.
Well, you can relate to them.
Exactly.
You can relate to them because you've been through that stuff.
Exactly right. So with them, like it's more like you get a 5-10 minute conversation. They're all good to go. The ones that are struggling with, you know, either like, you know, home problems and things like that, and, you know, rugby leagues, their escape, and they're not getting picked. It's like, oh, no worries. Then, you know, my kind of alternative route around that is to look, this is your first time lifting weights. Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on getting picked that week, you know, how about you come with me? Let's go through your squat form, your deadlift form, your bench press form. And, you know, it's the first time you're actually gripping a barbell. So let's focus on that. That's your goal for the week, not getting picked.
Yeah.
You know, forget about getting picked. You do the best bench press this weekend, like, sorry, this week at training on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whatever days we're training. And, you know, maybe you'll get noticed this week.
Yeah.
Or, you know what, we're going to practice, you know, a little bit more plyometrics. Let's get you jumping higher. When you're got spare time, you'll be with me in the gym. We'll get some hurdles out. Let's start doing that sort of stuff. You know, and I want you to focus on that this week.
So did you start off training at the Dogs, or were you starting off as a physio there?
No, I started off like nowhere, like no physio, nothing. Like I was just doing local work for Bankstown Sports, Rugby League.
Yeah.
And then I got a call up just to fill in for a development game, which is, like I said, that's just their scouting day. And from that point on, the scouts for that year, funny enough, ended up being the new staff for Harold Matz.
Far out.
Yeah, so when I submitted my application, like I didn't realize that's the hint they were giving me. They were like, oh, you know, you should apply. We're basically looking for, you know, head trainers and things like that. And I was like, all right, no worries. So sent my application in, and then my references end up being the coach and the manager.
That's gonna be a trip out, bro.
It was, because then when I got the call, like, he's calling me and he's going, "Hey mate, it's like his name was Pierre. He's like, I respect him a lot as a coach. He's at West Tigers now, but yeah, he called me up and he goes, "Yeah mate, he goes, it's Pierre. Like, looking forward to having you on board. This is what I expect from you." And we basically took it from there, and it was a pretty good like 4-year relationship with him. Yeah.
What's it like being in the league? Like, you're not in the NRL, but you're part of the game. What's the culture like? What's it like being around it?
It's honestly, compared to what you see in the media, it's very different. Mm-hmm. When you're at Belmore, I'm sure it's like the exact same at other clubs too, but Belmore has a big kind of foundation around the whole family thing. Mm-hmm. I know I put that in quotation marks because, you know, some people kind of stray from that, that foundation, but nah, everyone there is very out for each other, which is good. They're not out for themselves. You'll get first graders coming down to help out the juniors. Like, we get Josh Jackson every week, and he's helping out.
Comes in.
Yeah, ball skills, fitness. We went to Sand Dunes during preseason, and Josh Jackson put on his running shoes and did the dunes with them.
He rocked up.
Yeah.
Far out.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it's crazy. We're still paying the guy. He's not playing in our main squad, and he's still around the game. Helping out these younger boys.
Yeah, you got Josh Jackson, Willie Mason, all the boys. You know, you got Ockenbar, Alamotti. They all come down. Like, everyone's just integrated. It's not when you're at Belmore and all the teams are there, you truly feel like you're just one big team.
That's awesome.
There's no like I'll treat everyone differently sort of thing. Or first grade's here, you know, get out of the way. It's like, give first grade their space. You know, like, they got to train hard. Like, they're all getting paid to do that stuff. You know. But no, you walk past someone, it's like, hey, how you going, mate? You know, it's like, there's no kind of dry behavior going on. Everyone's just really kind of accommodating.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, when I was driver testing, I had a kid come in, I didn't actually do his test, but I helped him get his test done because he had a few issues with his cars, and he kept telling me how he was part of the Dogs Juniors, and I'm like, everyone says that.
Yeah,
then the other day,
I play for Bankstown Bulls. Yeah. I'm part of Dogs Juniors.
Yeah, then the other day, he has a very memorable name, so I'm pretty sure you know him.
Yeah.
I was watching the juniors before the actual game, and he was man of the match. Joash Papali'i. Oh,
Joash Papali'i. Yeah,
and I remember looking at it, and I'm like, yeah. Papali'i, or Papali'i. Yeah. I go, you're by any chance related to the guy Canberra? He goes, yeah, it's my uncle.
Yeah.
And he was Joe on TV. Yeah, he was man of the match, brilliant. Machine.
Joe Ash was originally with, so I met him first, like that 3-4 years ago. So he came in through Harold Matz, mm-hmm. and then he was just one of those superstars. So he jumped his way through, and then even we finished off-season. So we finished season, even on off-season, he was training with Jersey Flegg. He was training with first grade. All of this pre-season, he was with first grade.
Is it hard dealing with that turnaround of players, or is that one of the draws to your position? Because I got to imagine there's either kids getting dropped, kids getting pushed up the ladder, or kids getting traded out or injuring themselves or stuff like that.
Because
you're trying to develop relationships with these boys.
It's a good question. I mean, look, I think with me, it's a little bit easier because I don't have a say in any of that stuff when it comes to picking teams or picking a squad or... The only feedback I get is like, you know, if there is an injury, this is how far back they are before returning to play, or, you know, even then, like, sometimes I have to like consolidate with like first grade physio, you know, what would you do in this position, you know, that sort of thing. So like, my feedback doesn't really loop around to how they get picked. It's just more about like, how do I manage the injuries? What feedback can I give the coaches? That kind of determines at what point they might bring the player back if they're good enough.
Yep.
And if it's too big of an injury, then yeah, that's kind of where my only say is. It's like, you know what, you know, God forbid they've done a full ACL rupture. It's like, you know, like they're out for 12 months. You know, there's no like, oh, like he might be back. He's like, no. Like
you're done.
Yeah, you're gonna have to find a replacement for that prop or that second row or something like that. Building relationships with me is easy because I've honestly like. Besides the fact of getting them back onto the field and keeping their mentality at a positive, you know, level, especially when dealing with an injury or just general stuff, you know, it's not as hard as maybe some of the other roles in the staff.
Sure.
Like coaches, like we just said, have to pick the teams. Managers have to run around and make sure like they're all compliant before they run onto the field. Whereas with me, they come and talk to me as if I'm a friend, you know, so I kind of get that little bit more of an intimate kind of
feel into it. It's easier. It's easier because you're not having to deal with all
of that. Yeah, so, like, I'm going to, like, quotate, you know, retired players. They're still young. They just decided not to continue with the program or, you know, either got injured and said, don't worry about it.
I'm done.
Yeah, and, like, they still come into the clinic and, you know, we still reminisce about, you know, oh, yeah, do you remember when you were playing, you know, SG Ball, Harold Match? Do you remember when you were playing Flag? And they all still come and see me, say hi to me. Some of them are still involved with the club, you know, or some of them went and did other work in footy, like, when I don't know, did some trainer work with Roosters or even just being in that environment helped them decide that, oh, look, I want to go and, you know, study, you know, sports science or something like that. Yeah, so it's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You look like you wanted to say something.
No, I was just thinking. I had a friend.
Who, I like how nervous you get on. So Goose doesn't normally do talk to me. He normally does have a chat.
Yeah.
But I was like, bro, you got to come on, come hang out. And he feels like he's stepping on my toes here. I want you to talk, bro.
It's not nervous. I'm just trying to make sure what I say is relevant because a lot of the time it isn't. But
I thought the thing with a podcast was it's all relevant.
That's it, bro. Doesn't matter, mate.
It's all about flow.
You want to talk about a conspiracy theory? Go for it.
Yeah, we can jump in on that.
I just remember I had a friend in school who was always naturally bigger, stronger, more athletic. And he was always so much younger. I remember he done his HSC. Mm. He hadn't even turned 17 yet. I think he was a month away from turning 17. So he done his HSC when he was 16. Yeah. So he was always naturally a machine. Yeah. And he played, I think, what's under, is a, it's not cup. What's underneath cup?
Flag.
Like I think he played that, but he went. So he was always in the dog system because he went to my school. But then he ended up going to the Roosters. But he kept telling me he wasn't good enough, and I'm like, "How on earth are you not good enough? Yeah. You're bigger, stronger than everyone." And he was winger, I'm pretty sure. And in every carnival and any athletics we done in school, he broke every record, every record for anything he done. He broke it. So the fact that he still couldn't make it, I think he's a doctor now.
I did say.
I think so. I'm spent in years. But yeah, it just shows how hard it is.
Oh, yeah.
How hard is it, bro? Like,
it's hard.
Like, it's obviously a lot easier than it is to get into an American sport.
Yeah.
Because I think we just got so many pathways here.
There's
so many pathways, and we're really good as Aussies trying to get people into it. But how hard is it to get into the game?
Yeah, look, any junior players that are going to listen to this later on, like, don't come in next or trial. I'd tell everyone to trial, but it is hard. There's no like easy way to put it. I forgot the stats. They actually tell us before every season because we get our kind of season. What would you call it?
Guide stat pack.
No, not even that. It's like a launch, like a season launch. And you know we'll have all the players there, pretty much every grade, even the girls. You know, and you know you'll get. I think this year we actually had Phil Gould come in and have a chat with us. So. They did say the stats. They tell us the stats every year, but it's really low. I think, like, out of, like, the whole maths team, so you get, like, pre-season, like, 30 to 35 people or boys make that pre-season squad, which is a big number. Or sometimes it's 40. We've got to cut that back down to, like, 23 or something, 22.
All right.
So almost half goes. And, yeah, it's, like, a really low percentage. I'm talking, sub 5% of that squad will make first grade.
Wow. Yeah. So What is the advice to any juniors that do want to try get into it?
Yeah, that's what
comes
one.
Into it.
Don't focus on your don't focus on yourself. If that makes sense, I know that's going to sound very contradictive because you're trying to make first grade. But what they look for at that level to kind of progress you, even all the way through up until SG Ball, only maybe Flag, they start looking at your how much you bench press, how strong you are, how fast you are. When it comes to Harold Matz and SG Ball, it's just about, are you there for your teammates? Can you push hard, even when it's getting tough? And it's not about, how you play. It's about what they see at training. Mm-hmm. It's what they see, off the field as well. Bulldogs, and I'm sure, again, it's the same with many other junior clubs and just NRL in general. They've got a big, big inclination when it comes to what happens outside of the club. So that's making sure, you're respectful. Every time you throw on this uniform, you're walking around representing Belmore, you're representing the Bulldogs, you're not doing anything stupid, you're not doing anything that the media can kind of manipulate. And that all feeds back, they all get told that pre-season. They'll even go through kids' social media accounts, and they'll put up a whole slide about how, a whole PowerPoint on that one kid about how they, they have one media lady, it scared the crap out of everyone. They have one media lady, she basically did digging on all the players, and she was able to find out, you know, where they go to school, like gang signs they've been throwing up, you know, like photos from like old photos that like might not have been appropriate for social media that were posted on old accounts
yeah.
that they never deleted just because they could follow it through wow. like their newer accounts. And that's how the media, if you end up becoming well known, would dig up dirt on you.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure on these boys.
A lot.
It just goes to show that they're still kids. And I grew up in the Canterbury region, so I knew a lot of players who were good enough to be players, but their outside life had an effect on 100%. Either their performance or their career.
Yep.
So they had done something that didn't let them progress, or we tend to forget how much of a distraction it is everyday life, not just if you're in sports, but in general, your life has a massive distraction on how you perform in general. So I know a lot of people that were good enough, but just couldn't get past that barrier of social media, friends. They made a dumb mistake.
Exactly right.
Spend time with the wrong crowd.
It's in every workplace, though. It's not just the NRL, man. Like, man, you go in for a new job these days, the first thing they do is check your social media accounts. Yeah. I've had employers actually ask for my social media handles.
Yeah, definitely. They jump on it. And these days, you can't really blame them either.
No, 100%. You want to know who it is you're employing.
Exactly right.
And like you said, it's not really about the skill that the person's got. It's about, do you fit in with this club? Do you fit in with this team? Are you a team player?
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, it's with the Bulldogs, it's about, like, a certain set of core values where they're basically, especially with the Harold Matts and, you know, like, the boys, I should say. I'm not too sure. I think with the girls, it's the same concept, but it's all about, which I guess, you know, these days is getting very murky about what it means to actually be a man and what it means to be a woman. So they want to build these boys not to be ready for first grade, but if they can take anything away from the program, it's like how to be a man and contribute to society leaving the club.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So what's your end goal with the Dogs, man?
Honestly, I don't really have anything in sight. Like, I don't have like a plan to be higher up or anything in a certain amount of time. I'm just kind of enjoying what I'm doing there. I think any higher, like I'm assistant sideline with Flegg.
Yeah.
So they've got the head physio there and I'm just on sideline. So I don't run onto the field with them or anything. Even moving up to that point, like I think any higher than that, and then you're starting to ask for a lot more stress. And I think like, it'd be good to speak to maybe one of the higher up physios, because we don't really get to interact with them much. It's more like email, or they'll tell us what they want sort of thing. But I think that gets to a certain point where maybe a little bit of the enjoyment gets sucked out of it, because it's now turned into an actual job. Whereas with me, I kind of go there and it's like kind of my break up from clinic work, or break up from meetings or paperwork and that sort of thing. It's like you go down there. I love rugby league. I like hanging out with the boys, you know, so I can do my job but still be comfortable in it. So I think if I had to put a goal to paper, would be something a little bit more meaningful, like maybe win a grand final with the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That'd be a good goal. Not necessarily one for myself. Like, I don't really have any intention to move up or anything like that.
Yeah. Brilliant, bro. Well, congrats, man. You're killing it over there.
Yeah.
That's thanks. Awesome.
Yeah, they're doing well this year. We've only lost one game this season to Newcastle.
Hey, same with the first grade Dogs, bro.
So
we're playing horrendously, but...
Even though I'm a Marissa supporter, I've been watching the junior Dogs a lot more.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Tigers supporter and we got pumped yesterday by first grade. So
bro, you guys nearly came back. That was a joke. Yeah. We were just leaking in soft tries.
I just want to know what Timmy's thinking, you know, being on that sideline.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. Yeah. I don't know. That's just full on.
Yeah.
It's full on. But, mate, footy's not just your only love. You love soccer as well.
You know what? No.
No? Okay, so then why do I see you as a FIFA official? If you're not a lover of soccer, what is going on? Bro, I thought that was the easiest transition in the world. I jump onto your Instagram, and you're a official for the FIFA.
Wait, do you do work with a soccer team like our friend Michael, or no?
No, that's something that's in the works at the moment. So I'm trying to access a bit of work doing podiatry with the MacArthur Bulls. So they're the A League team in the comp, but that's all in the works. Like nothing like fully set.
Michael left Sydney.
Yeah, he did.
He has?
Yeah, he left it. He's full time clinic now.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, actually, it was funny. I don't know. Actually, I actually don't know how they got my email.
Okay.
FFA, like Football Federation Australia sent me an email, and me and my best mate Jay, who's a physio as well at Bankstown, got it, and it was basically them saying like they're looking for physios, massage therapists, that sort of thing, to kind of head to the A-League games. And as you can't make it sound any more exciting than what it is, basically just to massage the refs before they go onto the field.
Okay.
So that kind of built up, and we're like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Like, we get to go and
be
at the highest level of soccer in Australia, but have none of the stress. So I'm then again though, like, you do get the random like ref come in and goes like, oh no, I've got like a serious injury, so you got to be on your toes still, and you can't just like walk off. You got to watch the game, make sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. Like 2 months ago, we had one of the refs get concussed.
Oh, dead set. Yeah,
he fell over, and I think someone like basically ran into him. Yeah, either that or actually, he fell over and smacked his head on the ground.
Yowza.
Yeah, so he was like properly sent off. You know, doctor assessed. You know, I've got one of the guys that works with me at the clinic. He was at that game. I had him rostered on that game, so you know, he had to run on, make sure the ref was all right. He did his concussion assessment. Which we call like your Maddox questions, so make sure his like bearings were there. And I think he wasn't that confident with it, so he just pulled him off. Ref had to get switched over. So that stuff does happen, just very rare. Actually, 2 seasons ago, I had a ref, one of the ARs, pull off with a hamstring injury, so we had to switch him off. Basically, I'm rambling, but that built up to them asking us if we can start covering some international games. So when the Socceroos would play.
That's going to be a different level, right?
Yeah.
It's full on?
Yeah. That was more full on, because you're dealing with international refs now. So, like, they obviously do things a little bit differently overseas. It's like, you know, this ref wanted something strapped, or this ref wanted this actually assessed, or this one doesn't want massage, this one wants, like, a glute release or something stupid. Sure. You know? But then that built up to, oh, okay, like, you guys are comfortable with that. Now, any sort of international game that gets played in Sydney, are you guys up for covering it? So that led me to covering the Barcelona and A-League All-Stars game.
That's full on, bro.
Yeah.
So what's it like being on the field line with all those players out
it's
there?
It's good.
That's going to be surreal,
I
man.
Mean, it's good now. Like, I've made a few connections within that sporting realm. So, like, I forgot his last name, but you got Elias. He's at Wanderers now. He's the head of high performance at Wanderers. I met him a couple of times when I was doing a bit of shadowing work at Sydney FC and things like that. And even meeting him sideline when I was working with the refs. So rocking up to like an A-League All-Stars game and then being able to know someone on the sideline, like on one of the teams, made it a bit more comfortable. But other than that, it's like, it's exactly how you'd think of it. Like, just lights, cameras, noise, music.
Full on.
It's full on. But like, it's enjoyable though. I think if I was... you know,
any higher,
it'd be more, a bit more nerve wracking, a bit more of a job than an experience. Whereas where I'm kind of sitting at, I get the best of both worlds. I get the experience and I get the relaxation of like, I don't have to deal with anything too serious.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Did you watch UFC this past weekend?
I didn't though, but I'm very happy that, Edwards won.
You watched it, didn't you, Giz?
I watched the first round. So I watched the first round, but I'm happy Edwards won too.
Yeah. I can't stand Usman. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. He's annoying.
He's just very annoying.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a punchable head on him.
Yeah. I mean, talking about MMA, I haven't trained in that in ages either.
You stopped?
I think it's been like 2-3 years now.
Dead set. Yeah. You were full on into that back then, bro.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
What happened?
Work, life.
I heard rumor was you got a missus and that's why you stopped.
I do have a missus. Yeah, but no, that's not the reason. I stopped way before that.
Mick made me make sure that I brought that up at least at some point.
Yeah, that's fine. No, I do have a missus. Yeah, Christy, she's good. She's always hounding on me about my work hours and stuff. But I stopped way before that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How long were you training MMA?
Consistently, 11 years. Far out. Then it dropped off after that. Like, I think by the time... everyone here know Marlon. You guys know Marlon.
Yeah.
By the time I was with him for one fight that he had, which was I think pre-COVID, and then after that point, I dropped.
Guy's
off.
Been trying to get back into fighting for ages since then, man. Poor guy, just injury after injury.
Yeah, it's like just unlucky. And he's got the talent too. He'd make it. I've said that from the beginning.
He was on the show a few years back. He told us the whole thing.
Yeah. So but yeah, no, after that point, like I just remember that being the. Basically the turning point. I cornered that fight, or helped with cornering, I should say. And then I just dropped off. Like, there was just no consistency. I'd come back for, like, one or two sessions a month, and that left no sessions for 6 months. Then I'd come back for 1 month, once a month, and then...
That's a job in itself, though, man. That type of training, man, it's full on.
Yeah, it is. So, I still love the sport. I'd love to get back into it, but I just... it's half laziness, half haven't got the time.
Well, do most of the clubs around here, they're normally at night, aren't they?
Yeah.
That was the issue. Like, I tried to join up,
yeah,
and then I just realised they're all at 6 or 7 p.m. Mm. I was like, I can't do nights. Yeah. I was hoping for a 6 a.m. That would have been easy.
Or even, I mean, I've started waking up early just for myself, but I couldn't do early just because I'm not a
morning guy.
Yeah, like, I'm a morning guy. I'm just not a morning training person. I've tried... Yeah. Doing it back in the day, and when I was lifting weights, it was okay because, like, I was just on my own, didn't have to deal with anybody. But I think if I had to go and rock up to a class, I don't think I'd be in the mood.
Yeah, so I recently started, not recently, but I've been in the mornings for ages. But it's a 5:45 start.
That's disgusting.
To 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's weights and then a class. Yeah. It's brutal.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. I hate it.
And then, I mean, like, as I mentioned before, like, sometimes I don't leave Belmore or even the clinic till like 8 p.m., 9 p.m.
That's rough.
So
trying to get up in the morning after that's full on.
No, it gets even better than that, man. Then I get home and then I maybe do paperwork, eat, you know, then I would just want time to myself. So then I won't, like, I usually stay, like, sometimes I stay awake till like 1, 2 a.m. and then I'm back up at 7.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Joey starts, he's training midday during the lunch break now.
Yeah, it's a lot better. I mean, if I have the flexibility,
yeah.
I didn't for a long time, but now that I do,
yeah.
It works out.
Bro, why wake up if you don't have to?
Honestly, if I could, I'd rather train at midday.
I did that when I was at Samsung. I used to train during lunch.
Yeah.
It was the best.
Yeah. Well, actually, when I first started the clinic at Bankstown, like my one, the podiatry clinic, when it was obviously, there was a few quiet periods then when it was the patient base was building up. Yeah, like I'd instead of waiting till the end of the day, I'd go and fit in a workout.
Yeah,
during the day, and that's even going to the gym though, I dropped off the butt. Like,
yeah,
I haven't been consistent at a gym in like 2 years either.
Far out. So talk to me about the podiatry clinic, bro. Yeah. Where's that? How'd it start?
It's it's Suite G05, 68 Eldridge Road, Bankstown. So if anyone knows where I used to work upstairs at Bankstown Physio, it's like downstairs in the same building. Sweet. Yeah. So I don't actually access any physio there. So if anyone listening to this wants to know, so like I don't like stealing patients. It's just a podiatry clinic,
yeah.
Because that's what I'm basically doing now. Since I've finished that degree, but yeah, it's going good.
How does a guy dedicate himself to the foot?
Yeah, that's what
probably
I thought.
Probably the worst body part. Yeah, that you could.
Well, look, it's the foot when you're not well versed in it, because basically the degree gets you going for the whole lower leg.
Okay.
So I still do hips, knees.
Oh, really?
Ankles, yeah.
Bro, I thought podiatry was literally just the ankle and
foot. They're foot and ankle specialists, yeah.
That okay.
I'm going to quote specialists because, like, they're not doctors. We're not doctors.
Sure.
But, scope-wise, yeah, you can do the hip down.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, because you're dealing with biomechanics and especially with, you know, orthotic devices, you don't want to be putting... I know for a fact the research behind, like, alignment isn't as... soundly structured as they like to make it out to be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't want to be like adjusting, you know, people's biomechanics and then giving them another problem somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, ladies and gents, if you do need a podiatry clinic, go straight to Tommy.
That's it.
He's good.
And I guess I might as well keep going with the little plugs if that's all right.
Go for it, bro. Yeah, what's the next one?
I do have a physio clinic that I've kind of gone into.
Yep.
But that's all the way out at Gregory Hills. So that's called Rise Sports Medicine. So if anyone wants to access like their physio and give me a bit of support, that's at Gregory Hills Way. So I don't actually treat there. I'm more of a practice manager.
Nice.
But that's something that I've kind of invested in. So I am an owner. Like I'm not just an employee there.
Yep.
So it is my clinic.
Far out.
But
you got busy, bro.
Yeah. So that's like the new venture. But nice. It's still very new. So it's like... I guess a good way to look at it is if you want an appointment, you can get it now before it gets busy, because it will get busy.
Well, ladies and gents, all the links are going to be in the description below, so make sure you jump onto those.
Definitely.
What else you a part of? I feel like there's more.
I've got... I don't know, since I last spoke to you, but I'm doing Rockdale FC as well for soccer.
I keep saying my team. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Is covering.
You're part of it.
Yeah, is covering Rockdale FC. So Rockdale Suns. So that's for the women's. I think they first year moving up to an NPL grade.
Nice.
I think they were more kind of club level. Recently got into AFL.
How do you find that?
I haven't started yet.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so that starts start? I think April.
Okay. You ever get into AFL?
No. Can't stand it.
Neither can
but
I.
But it's work, so.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. Joey likes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Swans.
Still disgusting.
On day one, Swans. Always.
I watched the grand final with him last year.
Yeah.
So that was pumped. Okay.
Oh, maybe a grand final I can bite my tongue a bit.
No, I got it. I was like, yeah, still not for me, bro.
Well, speaking about Swans, like if you guys want a name to remember, I've got one of the, actually if he listens to this, he might laugh at it. I've got one of the boys in the Bulldog squads at the moment. His name's Mitchell Woods.
Okay.
So he's probably like the next up and coming.
Yeah.
Like if he keeps going the rate he's going, he'll make first grade, but he actually trains once a week with Swans. First grade. Yeah.
Why?
He's just that talented.
Good on him.
Yeah. So he does once a week AFL and then does the rest of it rugby league. I think he might actually do like cricket or something else as well. He's just an athlete.
There's boys like that, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
They were just insane.
Yeah.
They're just insane. Good stuff, bro. Goose, what else are we bringing up? Or are we done?
Have we spoken about your work schedule?
Nah, go.
Nah, it's pretty hectic, if that wasn't obvious. But I don't have, like, I've got my diaries. Like, I've got my, like, our patient management systems, like, our booking systems, which I use. So, like, mm-hmm. I'll see when I have an appointment with someone, and then I'll just use that to block off something. Like, today, for example, like, make sure I blocked off.
Okay, so then give it to us like this. How often are you at the Dogs per week?
4 hours a day, 5 days a week. Actually, 6 days because we play on Saturdays. Pre-season was 5 days.
Okay, so are you there morning and arvos?
No, just afternoon.
Just arvos.
Yeah, I did do a shadowing session with first grade.
Yeah.
That was a while back. But that was just the morning. But they have a completely different schedule. But like they'll train in the morning. Do whatever they have to do during the day, and then come back for like night sessions. And okay. when I say night, I think they start at like 2-3, and they'll be done by the time us juniors get in there.
Yeah, fair. Okay. So you're there at the Dogs 6 days a week, mm-hmm. at your podiatry clinic. How often you're there?
I'm there every day, but like I'm not treating as much as I was when I first started because I got a full time podiatrist there now.
Nice.
So
in and out.
Yeah. So I'll go in, make sure everything's okay, or like I'll have like a Thursday afternoon. Booked because I know it's a quieter day at Belmore, or even a Wednesday because Fleg don't train Wednesdays. So I'll have that booked out for me. Like I'll just have like, you know, between, I don't know, 6 to 10 patients on a Wednesday night. Like finish it off late. Like I'll get there like, you know, around 5, finish at 10.
Gregory Hills?
Gregory Hills, I'm only there 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. So I've got a full-time physio there. So I just go and make sure she's okay. So I go Monday, Friday. So I was there this morning. And then I drove back here.
Bro, how do you have time for anything else in life?
Oh, like
family, friends, all that stuff.
Michael will tell you that I don't see him. Yeah. I hope he hears this, Michael. Michael, I love you and I'm sorry. I haven't seen much of anyone really. Family, they like to tell me stay at home more
because
they don't see me. Weekend stuff has been okay. Like Saturdays, I'm just inundated. Saturdays, I'll be Bulldogs in the morning because juniors play in the morning or like early afternoon. Like we were at Camden on Saturday at 12. We had to be there at 10:30. And then I went from there straight to Central Coast for the NPL soccer with the boys. But then Sundays, I was with the NPL one girls. Now that I've got a few sports trainers and physios that are happy to help out. So I kind of roster them on, and they can help me out on Sunday. So I make church Sunday nights, which is good. And that's kind of like all I need to kind of reset for the week.
Yeah, beaut.
And then whenever I can fit it in, like, you know, like I'll see my girlfriend whenever I can as well. Like, I'm not crazy. Like, I still give myself sometimes a lunch break. So like,
sometimes I get a lunch break.
Yeah, so she works at Roselands, so she's not far. So I'll pop in, you know, we can have a coffee together. I'll leave every weekend, like maybe a Friday night. I'll be like, you know, let's get some dinner or, you know, watch a movie, something that I can fit in.
Yeah,
of course, you'd want more hours, but
Do you pull back at any point? Not really.
No. I've pulled back at some things, and then like other things have popped up, and then that replaces the pullback.
So what is it that drives you about it?
It's a good question. I've been asked that a few times by, like, you know, family, friends, and just randoms even. But I think it comes down to I genuinely enjoy the field I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also a component to satisfaction as well. So it's like, I'm in a very high, I'm in a very high satisfying job. So it's like, it only takes one patient to, or like anyone that I'm dealing with doesn't have to be even be a patient.
Good.
Yeah. It's just like, even just hearing like, oh, thanks, you helped me. Like it feels good. You know, like, yeah. I know that sounds pretty cliche, but, and then I mean that also from a business point as well. Like, yeah, you know, you do well at one club or one team, and then someone else goes, oh, like, can we have you as well? And then it's just like, it just builds from there.
Yeah, nice.
And I think continuously getting that recognition that, like, I'm doing well just makes me want to keep doing better, mm-hmm. until I get to Bulldogs, and then I'm like, nah, I'm good there. Just don't want to move up.
Any other questions from you, bro?
I noticed in my life, whenever I give a lot of time to one certain part of my life, something else suffers.
Yeah.
And usually I'm willing to let it suffer, either it's not important or it's just for the time being. Have you ever seen that in your life at all and had any regrets? Or you're pretty happy with giving this part of your life a lot of time, knowing that you'll make up for it later on somewhere else?
Yeah, it's a good question. I can safely say I have no regrets yet,
mm-hmm.
which is good. But I think before meeting you fine gentlemen and, you know, kind of reigniting that need to get back to church and back to my faith, was something that if I wanted to find a kind of nitpick about regretting, yeah, because at that point it was full work.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, if, even now people still, if you speak to me, everyone's like, oh yeah, Tommy's at work, but I'm in a very different mindset. Like, I know when I need to pull back if I have to, whereas before it was just like, oh, I don't really care about anyone else. Like,
yeah, you know yourself now. I remember that. I remember we had a long conversation on my balcony back then, and we were just talking about how there's so much more to life than just work and
heaps.
You know, God gave us life. He's given us so much, and
having
a relationship with him is important. And I remember, I think you either texted me or you shot me a phone call after that, and you were like, bro, I've sorted things out.
Yeah.
Things are getting better. What was it that changed? What was it that you quote unquote fixed?
Just getting back to church.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think it's a good topic to touch on anyway, because, like, I think a lot of, you know, especially people who might say they're Christians and stuff always say, like, I don't need to go to church to have that same relationship. But I think now going through that, it's like, it's not the case. Like, I think there needs to be something there that you can, especially us being humans, you know, there's something that you can see, you can feel, you know, we're people about the senses.
Yep.
So being around like-minded Christians, being around that sort of thing is like something that can give you more reassurance that you are okay. You know, like you said, it's not only about work. Yep. It's not only about, you know, friends. There's something bigger going on. There's a lot more spirituality that surrounds us than people like to give credit to. And there's a lot more guidance that God gives us that people kind of move to the side. They just put their blinders on and they're like, I'm all good, I can figure this out later. Where it's like, I think if you get that relationship correct first, everything else becomes a lot easier.
Well, the Bible says it, bro. I mean, God wants a relationship with people. The whole point of him coming to earth and dying on the cross wasn't so that good works could take you to heaven.
Exactly,
it was
right.
So that his death on the cross could act as that sacrifice for your sin.
Definitely.
And so that he could have a one-on-one relationship with you. And I think without that, a lot of people are lost, a lot of people are scared. You know, people are dying and going to hell without even realizing it.
Exactly right.
So there's so much more there.
It sounds like you realize the importance of prioritizing, even though your career and careers in general are extremely important. There's some things like faith and relationships and family that will always be a bigger priority.
100%.
Yeah, and you look at the biggest celebrities. You look at Tom Brady. He retired, then he came back to his career. just for his wife to leave him because he chose his career over her.
Mm.
And she chose someone that will spend more time with her.
Exactly.
That's just one example of if you don't prioritize what's important,
yep.
no matter what it is, you're always going to lose something else.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think there's just a hole that people are trying to fill. And, you know, people will try to fill it with anything they can, money, yep. work, fame, whatever it is. But without Jesus Christ, there's nothing there, bro.
Exactly right. Well, I think to add on to the topic and to the question in its essence is that maybe from the outside someone might look and be like, oh, he's got a lot going on, he's fairly successful. I'm definitely not successful. Like, I think there's a lot more to go, especially if we're talking about it in a monetary sense.
Sure.
Like, I'm not, like, making millions.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of work hours, and it's all very, like, infant stages to everything that I've started now.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, compared to having, like, a set hours someone's paying you to just only working for yourself. Very different dynamic with actually saving and making money. So, mm-hmm. but in saying that, like, I do know that if I keep going, that there is a certain element of success that I want to reach. But I think what keeps me grounded, and I hope it's the same in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, is the fact that I think getting that relationship with Christ and getting it at a level where it needs to be shows me that even if I lose all of this right now, I'm still going to be happy.
Mm.
And I think that's the biggest element that keeps me grounded with everything that I do. It's like, I've had, and this is going to sound really bad. I don't know if we'll keep this in the podcast, but I've had patients, you know, complain,
yeah.
you know, whether it's about me or about like how yeah. one of my, you know, clinicians treated them or they weren't happy with something. And it's just like, you know, me 6 years ago, you know, even though I was still studying, would have been like, oh, I can't have anyone like not like me, or this is a big problem yeah. or something like that. Where now it's like, you know, I've still got
changes.
It's yeah. Like yeah. I was like, I'm still here. Life still goes on. I'm not living for this world anymore, if that makes sense.
There's an eternal value there.
Yeah.
I mean, Pastor said it the other day, if you're not living for heaven, or if you're not living heaven-minded, yeah. then you're living earth-minded.
Exactly right.
And you're not looking at that future that's Definitely. Coming, that eternity.
I think there's a certain element that people, maybe once they get to a level of spirituality, and not saying that my spirituality is refined or anything, but I think once they build that relationship with Christ, I think you start to see more of that spiritual warfare
mm.
that's going on within just our general lives.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. It's like, you know, before you could walk past someone having, you know, clearly in distress and, you know, not think twice about it. But then when you start realizing that, like, no, this is my brother, this is my sister,
mm.
you know, like you start, you know, seeing that there's other entities at play. You know, whether, you know, they're trying to, you know, get into your mind or trying to show you something physically, you know, there's always temptation about, you know, there's obviously that component of free will. But at the end of the day, like, you know, the devil's not stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll do anything to kind of create that separation that he wants. Because I think that's what kind of leads me back to the original statement where I was saying that I needed to go back to church regularly. Which was like, it's like all good. Like, I'll try and be better this week and then I'll go back to church. It's like, no. Like, I don't think people realize you don't have to be good to go back to church or to attend church or to do something or like to pray or to seek God's, you know, counsel, Christ's counsel. You know, it's like, how many times does it say it in the Bible where he's like, he's not coming for, you know, the righteous.
Yeah, he doesn't come for the righteous, but for the sick to
exactly
repentance.
Right. I mean, you know,
the Bible even says there's none righteous, no, not one, man. Like,
exactly
every
right.
single one of us is a sinner.
Exactly right.
And we're all in need of a Savior. We're all in need of a relationship Definitely. With Jesus Christ. And you're 100% right, bro. No one needs to fix themselves up. I think that's the biggest lie there is out
exactly.
there. God wants you to sort things out and come to him and let him do that. That's why he died on the cross. He
exactly
died
right.
for sinners. He
I think. I think even more than that. I think he wants to help us sort it out.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, so it's like everyone who's like, you know, whoever's listening to this and like they're feeling alone, like you've got the greatest, you know,
helpmate
around.
Yeah,
you know, like, and I think we can talk about this for hours, but like,
100%.
There's different, you know, avenues that encompass what it means to be with Christ, you know. And it's the fact that he can be everything that you want him to be.
Yeah.
So anyone who's ever going through any problems, you know, like, he is what you want it, what you want him to be.
Mm.
You know, and I know that can be very dangerous for people who don't know what we're talking about. But, like, you know, if you're missing that father figure, you know, looking at how he taught, how he walked the earth, what he teaches, you know, like, what he expects from us as his children. It's like, there's all the elements that you could ever need from wanting a father figure.
Yeah, 100%. You
know, he's got the masculinity for, he's got the femininity for, anyone who's after someone for, like, the loving nature, you know. And I think you put it perfectly, like, we're not after works, you know. So, like, you know, other certain religions might teach,
yeah,
that you
got to be good.
Got to be good to
do
it.
Got to do something right.
It's like, good's being a part of it, but it's because you want to be good. Yeah. You know, so I think people finally taking that step back, and I think that, you know what, like, I'm rambling on, but talking about myself, I think that was like a big thing. It was like taking a step back, going like, you're not good.
Yeah.
You know, like, calm down. Like, you're not good. And that's why you need this. Like,
that's why you need him. Yeah. The Bible says you're not good, but you have a good father.
Exactly right. That's so where it's at. I was like start doing it. You know, start talking to him, start praying. You know, and then that changed everything. Everything.
That's awesome, bro. I think that's a great note to end it off on, mate. Thank you so much for jumping on. It's been awesome having you.
Well, we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, we have
a lot sooner.
Now, you know what I'm thinking? We're gonna grab all the boys. We'll do a barbecue again.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Let's figure out a night.
You just let me know.
No, you're going to have to let me know, bro.
No, trust me. I say this to Michael all the time. Tell me so I can block it off.
Okay, done. I'm booking it for about a month's time.
Done.
We're doing it. Done.
Text me.
Joey, where the boys are. Where the boys and girls finding you online?
Online. You guys can follow me. Joey_Azzy, I think. 15. Yeah, you find me on Insta.
Perfect.
Nice. Where they finding you, bro?
I actually don't know my Instagram handle off the top of my head, but I think it's
Tommy_Haddad with
Tommy,
something else.
I think it's Tommy... J3615_ something like that. Yeah.
All right.
If anyone wants to know, that's Job.
Is it
3615?
Oh, there you go. I was trying to figure out what is with these random numbers. These random numbers. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then if anyone wants to book in for treatment, I guess I haven't got a website for Bankstown yet. That's Bankstown Podiatry and Health Clinic. So, but you can get the number and everything on like off Google. It's all there. There's a work number to call and everything like that. And then physio, Rise Sports Medicine at Gregory Hills. Nice.
Well, ladies and gents, like I said before, all that stuff is going to be in the description below. So make sure you go support. And ladies and gents, have a chat with Ray and Stat on all the social medias. You know where to find us. Do me a favor, subscribe. Helps us out on YouTube and all that nice stuff. Tommy, thanks for talking to me, bro.
Good to be here.